You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
.7 and a half on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. Christopher DeSimone, Matthew J. Neely, Esquire, on the other side of the glass. We will talk to Congressman Schweiker in about 27 and a half seconds. Tonight is our happy hour. It is at Tucson Games and Gadgets. We just had Mark on yesterday. We had a full hour of trivia.
A lot of fun.
And three great contestants between umpire John Roberta, Pliskin Acres Roberta. There's Pflugerville Roberta and Pliskin Acres Roberta. And then Barney, who struggled, but he did win it at the end. So it was too early in the morning for Barney, so we'll get Barney later in a day and do it again.
What are the odds he'd get the question about the Volkswagen on the Abbey Road album cover?
That's true, right?
He knew that one before Mark even finished reading the question, I think.
So tonight's our happy hour, Tucson Games and Gadgets. It's at Tucson Mall. And in the back, he has his medieval fantasy adventure tavern called the Short Rest Tavern in the back. Craft beers, wine, and, of course, meads. And, of course, it has various dragon-themed coffees. Just saying that because David's on the phone. I bet he didn't hear that. David, good morning, sir.
Good morning. So Barney the Purple Dinosaur won?
He did. Well, this is Barney Brenner. You know Barney with the great...
That Barney. Yeah. I thought you had a large purple dinosaur with you.
No. That's...
That's at the happy hour tonight.
At the happy hour. We'll see a purple dinosaur tonight, but... This is Barney with the great head of hair.
So. That is very, very true.
So
you're missing all the weirdness back here in D.C. I mean, on Monday, we had the quorum call, which you do every, when you're starting a new year. And, about a quarter of the body, mostly almost all Democrats, voted by proxy in a quorum call that says you're present. I mean, you start to just realize how weird this place is getting.
Let me do the little weird sound effect for that one. So, again, what David's saying, everyone, let's say this one more time. This is a quorum call to start a congressional legislative session to say that you're there, and 150 of them did it by proxy, not there. Just wanted to make sure we got that right.
Yeah.
Tell me about that glowing jobs report. Let's get to there.
At one level, there's some good math in that jobs report. And then but when you go from that top line down to what they call the U6 and you dig into it, you still have 4 million workers who've disappeared. And there's some weird numbers. The number of older female workers who've just said, screw it, I'm retiring, I quit, I'm out of the labor force. And so one of the reasons you have such a good top-line unemployment number is there's 4 million workers who've disappeared. They've just disappeared. Now, we knew some of this was going to happen just because of our demographics. We're getting older very quickly as a society. But it's a real problem because ultimately, part of the formula of tapping down inflation, you remember inflation is too many dollars chasing too few goods or services, is one thing you do is you make more goods and make more services, right?
Right.
It's a little hard to do that when you're missing millions of workers.
So when we talk about, we talked about how the lockdowns and lots of free government money broke a lot of traditional patterns in the economy, right?
Good way to phrase it.
Right. Is that what we're dealing with in relation to the workers who aren't out there working anymore? Is that too simplistic?
No. It's a good top line. Then trying to break down why it's falling in certain categories. So, why is there such a difference between service workers and white collar and those? But that's sort of getting into the minutia of, hey, these folks were in types of professions where they were set up to work from home. These folks needed to show up and you know their lives, you know, whether it be being beaten on, saying, well, we want you to take a vaccine or wear the mask, or you know, the business is open today, it's closed tomorrow, open the next day, closed, that, you know, that their life got so sort of erratic. There's lots of arguments out there of why this many millions of workers have just left the labor pool, but it has a real economic problem, and you know, we financed it. You still see how many folks, you know, got enough subsidies over the last year and a half in cash and other ways that, you know, it helped them transition, saying, "Yeah, screw it, I'm not working anymore, or I'm going to do quiet little things on the side." But it's actually part of the formula is as you get ready to take on inflation, you don't just raise interest rates to try to squeeze, you know, economic activity out. There's those of us who are supply-siders and say, do things that make society more productive so we make more things. So you actually do have the goods that are available for those dollars that are chasing.
You know, one of the things you brought up, especially in the early part of this with the PPP money and some of that, some of those other dollars, that they were just sitting there and not being actually utilized. Is there still that money? Is any of that money still
there's
sitting
still
out there?
Some of that. There's still some of that. You know, where certain programs have expired and there's still some cash sitting in the accounts. But understand, that's still borrowed money.
Sure.
You know, it's one of the languages of Washington, D.C. It sort of enrages me. Oh, there's all this money still sitting there. Screw you. So, you know, 9 months earlier, we borrowed a bunch of money, stuck it in the authorized the account. But it's still substantially borrowed money.
So when you see these, like I see some of these stories about how much money was supposed to be spent on increasing hospital capacity and testing capacity that hasn't been spent, right?
It's the classic problem, though, of instead of doing pieces of legislation that, you know, made the tax work and the regulatory work and those things to create production. Remember, that was one of the miracles in the previous 4 years, is how much industrial capacity went up because you got the regulatory code right, you got the tax code right. In this case, we did the typical more Keynesian model, you know, that the Democrats like, of we'll just write a big check. Because it's great politics to walk around handing out big checks, but what happens when you have nothing to buy with the big check?
Right.
Because you haven't sort of set up the mechanisms of we're going to incentivize you to go, we're going to let you depreciate instantly the new equipment you have to buy to make the masks, to make the equipment, to make these things. So years from now, hopefully there'll be some young PhD economist students that will look at this and say, wow, that was stupid.
Well, that's the thing. In hindsight, the way we have handled the last 24 months across the board will be, I think, very much maligned. I guess it matters who writes the history.
So, and this is inside baseball. So, I think it was last night or the night before. You know, I'm getting fussed at because I'm not wearing my mask, and there's two of the old matriarchs of the Democrat Party who are always angry. And I'm about to get into the elevator, and they're all masked up, and one's wearing gloves, you know, plastic gloves. And she looks at me and says, are you going to put your mask on before you get in this elevator? And I turned and said, no, I'm going to go take the stairs. I just passed her in the hallway. She's not wearing a mask, not wearing gloves, because she's in a spot where there's no reporters to take a photo.
Well, how much video content have we seen of Democrats all 3 inches from their face talking to each other, and then when the real cameras go on, they throw their masks on?
And for a lot of the folks on the left, they don't understand. They're being played. This is theater. How much of this is theater? I mean, I swear to you, I just passed the very senior Democrat who fussed at me the other night about not wearing a mask, walking down the hallway without a mask. But that fussing happened right in front of a bunch of reporters.
Right.
So you realize how much of this is virtue signaling.
Well, and you see a lot of the narratives on this stuff is, I think the next 30 to 45 days of the narrative falling apart, right? Is going to be fascinating, because now we're seeing APs now telling their reporters don't report cases. You know, you're seeing the narrative, and it looks like the vaccine isn't going to be as lasting as they thought. And it's just fascinating how this is going to get spun.
Well, but maybe we're all becoming a little more adult. And I've had family members that have had the virus that had a really crappy time with it. It was rough. But it is part of our lives. It's part of society. And there really is sort of this emotional difference, I think, between people who are conservative and leftist. You know, the left seems to bathe in fear. And I don't think that's sort of the psyche of those of us on the right. You know, you try to do the math, you try to figure out what the odds are, and you try to live your life. And I think that the math for those folks who wanted to bathe in fear all the time is sort of breaking down, saying, well, maybe this just is reality. It's life.
David, I'm going to impose a little waiting time. Make another coffee, please, while we go visit some sponsors. Okay, sir?
Let's do it.
Thanks, buddy. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. We're going to be at the Short Rest Tavern, Tucson Games and Gadgets. So we're going to geek out with a little Lord of the Rings, little chill out music, hanging out with Dave, having a cup of coffee, overlooking the Shire. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. All right, little John Williams bringing us in the wondrous world of truth and honesty at the U.S. Capitol with our good friend, U.S. Congressman David Schweikert. David, welcome back, sir.
Yay.
You got to come down. Next time you're down, we got to take you to this place. It's called the Short Rest Tavern, and it looks like a medieval kind of fantasy adventure where the guy does beer and meads and all this stuff. It's kind of cool. You can have a coffee. We'll get your coffee. I know you're not a drinker guy, so.
Yeah, well, I'm seriously thinking taking up heavy drinking, because I don't know if this living on coffee is working.
So that looks like I picked the wrong day to start drinking coffee.
Yeah. We were actually having that discussion. All right, the two most quoted movies in Congress are Princess Bride and Airplane.
Inconceivable.
Yes, just because the absurdity of... And my intense frustration is... And I know I seem to annoy you when I've brought this up in the past, so I'm
going to do it again.
Joy out of annoying you. There are big, big things going on around us. The scale of the debt, we're borrowing about $47,000 every second. That is what will take down a republic, is the crushing debt, the inability. If interest rates go up 2% over Congressional Budget Office model, in like 25 years or so, every dime of tax collections go just to pay interest. This is what's going to wipe us out. And Congress will do everything they can to functionally push out shiny little stupid objects or a little cat fight or something over here to fill up media time. Because Congress doesn't want you ever to think about and talk about the scale of the debt and the spending, because that's hard to deal with. I just had my first morning meeting with an Arizona group. Had to go across the street because everything's still shut down in the Capitol. And the first words out of their mouth were wanting more money. You know, it's just my ever-ending frustration that the public is hoodwinked from talking about the scale of the problem that's coming, so we talk about the noise.
I feel like we have similar discussions, like kind of in relation to things that are obvious out there. You feel like the voice crying out in the wilderness, right? And you're like, guys, this is serious.
Well, in a couple hours, I'll do almost an hour floor time. Yeah, because that's one of our jobs is, you know, Freedom Caucus and those, trying to make sure we're taking that floor time so we can talk to the public. But also, a lot of that floor time is also trying to talk to the staff who are sitting in their chairs, and they all have C-SPAN over, and talk about the numbers and what's going, and that there are some paths to fix this crap. But almost none of it is what the Democrats' policies are. I'll give you the simplest example because it's really Arizona-centric. So you saw the story about a month ago that the first solo autonomous big rig truck drove functionally across part of that I-10, you know, in the western desert.
Tucson to Phoenix, yep.
Yeah, and so it's a big deal. It's working. At this, so there's this hope saying, hey, in the future years, does that mean we can sort of clean up, get a much more efficient supply chain from the port to the warehousing here in Arizona to the manufacturing in Arizona, except we're going to all this work to make it so we can have the autonomous trucks move goods because we have such a trucker shortage. But in that infrastructure bill that particularly your senator keeps talking about how wonderful it is, they had language in there saying it's illegal to automate the port.
So
the port will continue to stay congested.
You mean the great senator from
years and years and years, because tucked in there was language for the union saying, you won't be able to do what Singapore and every other industrialized country is doing, where they automate much of the container traffic coming off the ships and onto the trucks or onto the rail, or now in the future onto the autonomous trucks. So it completely screws up the efficiency of billions and billions of dollars being spent to make this, because Congress slipped in language, or the Democrats did, that, you can't use automation at the port.
They should have had automated spaceships, I think.
So,
but you think about it, it's the classic case of wink, wink, nod, nod. We're going to talk about how we're fixing the supply chain, but we're really not. Matter of fact, we're just pandering to our unions and giving them more power.
Hold on. Let me call that senator. My senator, he's at his house in Houston. Mark, yeah. You there? Mark, sorry, did I just say that out loud? Now, my last thing on this is, so what's interesting, so as we automate these jobs, right, as time moves on, and you still have, you know, the American public school system is pretty much mediocre to crap, right? Replacing those jobs, what do we do with those people whose education is pretty much driving a truck? What happens there?
That math actually has become quite folklore, because today's automation sort of jobs, the coding, the management, the work of that, you know, it's not like when I was a coder, you know, 30 years ago, where you had to sit there and stare at a line of code and test it and write it. Now you push buttons, you do this. It's become much more accessible. Coding actually is becoming a blue collar job. Automation management is becoming a blue-collar job. But back to the beginning of our conversation about what was in the unemployment report from Friday, is you almost need to have this automation, because you don't have – I mean, we're short tens and tens and tens of thousands of truckers, and their mean age is in, what, the mid-50s. We're getting old very fast. The next generations, the types of jobs they're going to pursue are going to be different. You're going to have to embrace the efficient technologies, because if we don't have the economic growth, we're screwed in the future.
David Schweikert, on that note, we got to let you go. Thanks for the conversation as always, sir. And, you know, keep doing what you're doing, my friend. Keep fighting and stay sane.
Back on to coffee number 6. Goodbye now.
All right, my friend. Take care. U.S. Congressman David Schweikert. John Williams, little Raiders march. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news, talk. Bobby and Jimmy and the crew, of course, very influenced by Lord of the Rings and things like that. So that's why this thing called Misty Mountain Hop. Misty Mountains are, well, there are Misty Mountains out there, but definitely there's Misty Mountains in the Lord of the Rings. So Robert Plant, very much influenced by such amazing things. So we got a big happy hour tonight at the Tucson Games and Gadgets, Tucson Mall. Please enjoy us. So it's getting to a point where the how information is basically squashed by the big tech folks, the media. It's pretty sick. right? Starting with their fact checkers and all this stuff, okay? Then we get to the point where credible experts in the field get crushed. Watch the Rand Paul questioning Fauci about literally him and another doctor on an email where the one guy in the conversation calls the Great Barrington Declaration doctors, which are top epidemiologists from, listen to these hack universities, Oxford, Harvard, and Stanford, are literally that they're pretty much accusing these people of being hacks because they're bringing reasonable discussions and facts to a lockdown discussion where they said lockdowns are a lose. Right? So it's not even just, don't feel bad about when Facebook or Twitter censors you. When you're someone who's an actual expert in your field globally, and you're not going with the narrative of the Democrat Party and Big Pharma and the media and the mainstream media, they're coming for you too and discrediting you. It's a sick world, right? When Fauci went about, you know, like basically they're the science and you can't question it, that's psychotic. That's psychotic. It's against everything the scientific method has stood for hundreds of years. That's how the science gets better, when it gets questioned, right? When someone goes, hey, that's wrong there. Maybe it's this. You can't do that anymore. So this is what I love about the Democrats that kept on saying that Trump and the Republicans were Hitler. Hitler, 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 Hitler. How many times did they say Hitler on the night, this last January 6th and 7th? How many Hitler comparisons were made on CNN to Trump and the Republicans? Right? I'm sure a brown shirt probably came out once in a while out of their mouths. So now, when you look at the squashing, the crushing of people who want to say something that's different from the narrative, and it should be, we're Americans, it should come from us up to those epidemiologists. Okay? Now, on social media, it's you chose to play in Facebook's garden, right? The only way that changes is that Facebook and Twitter come under the FCC, just like Chris on a radio show. When that happens, then you might have a... Not that I'm a big fan of more government regulations, so either free the radio and TV stations, or let's bring Facebook into the FCC. Because obviously it's the preferred way of communications, Federal Communications Commission. Let's have the even playing field, jerks. Okay? So let's get to... This is Billy number two just sent this over. This is from The Hill. This is not a right-wing... This is... I don't know what The Hill is, but they're definitely not right-wing. Now you're going to love this. A coalition of doctors and science educators are now calling on Spotify to take down the Robert Malone, Joe Rogan Experience podcast. All these people, I'm going to say, if you're the Republican Party, you know, they're going to make lists of the unvaccinated. They made a list of Trump people who work for Trump. You know, if I'm the Democrat, the Republican Party, I want someone needs to put up a page of every lockdown politician, doctor. I want everyone to know who they are. So Katrine Wallace, an epidemiologist, says Rogan's a menace to society and his ideas are fringed and not backed by science. Rogan, during a podcast, said that if a 21-year-old asked him if he should get the vaccine, he said, I'll go no. I've been saying that forever. If you're someone who's really young, unless you have something I don't know about, you shouldn't. So you're going to love this. Spotify has not condemned Rogan's remarks, which have been criticized by medical quote experts, including Dr. Fauci. So you're going to go after Malone because of the guy who invented the mRNA vaccine technology? This is the sick world we're in. Let's go to the AP. AP, where are you? You're in my stuff here. Hold on. So AP has now told, here we go. They told their editors to no longer run stories solely, I can talk today, on COVID case counts.
After 24 months.
They no longer count, according to the Associated Press. They argue...
Welcome to the party, AP.
The case counts argue... The AP argued case counts are incorrect because many people self-test or infected without even knowing it, so for that reason, there's no longer emphasized the case count. That hasn't changed. Now they figured that out, as Matt just said. Welcome to the party. For that reason, the AP has told its editors and reporters to avoid emphasizing case counts and stories about the disease.
Oh, and Trump's no longer the president.
You beat me to the punchline. Hold on. You get one. Hold on.
Sorry.
That's fine. That's okay. But you're right. I mean, please tell me, does anyone believe that case counts were not used to bludgeon Trump during the 2020 election cycle?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Now, according to some polls, Joe Biden's approval level is down to 33%. I'm sure that helped in making this decision with the AP. How many times have we talked about on this show about case counts? And then the other thing is, why hasn't the Supreme Court... Why are they delaying the ruling on the vax mandate? They're just going to let, you know, as we start passing these certain dates, what's going on? Let's just do it. Pull off the Band-Aid, Supreme Court, and make the decision. If you're shooting them down, shoot them down and let everyone move on with their damn life. And the other thing is, all these organizations that were... compelled to force vaccinate their people to keep their jobs. If this thing shot down, you're going to feel like the biggest jackass in the world. All those Raytheoners that were forced by Raytheon to get the vax to keep their job. Right? And now all of a sudden they're going to say, if the Supreme Court comes back and they say, oh, this is unconstitutional. So this is what I don't get is, you know, I understand the federal money. I understand. That's how it worked. I got it. Right? If you're a federal contractor, you have to, if you're not vaccinated, you got to get rid of people. All right? You know, in the end, what were you doing? So the money, I got it, is more important than the employees. It's still an experimental vaccine. And you're forcing vaccinations to keep jobs. Do you understand what a sick place that is to be? And so what? So if the Supreme Court comes back and says a vax mandate is unconstitutional, and you were Raytheon or any of these employees that forced your people to get a vaccine, so what you're saying is your action forcing them was unconstitutional? What happens then? It's sick. Why do I believe, you guys can help me out. And in some statement, you know, global statement years ago, there was the idea of forced vaccinations is not actually a good thing. I got to look that up. If anyone, one of my big brains, there's got to be some global thing out there from the past that said, you know, forced vaccinations, not really a good thing. All right, let's do this. 790-2040. Let's get back to the University of Arizona. The $1 million man, Dr. Robbins, and this mask thing with the faculty union and all that jazz. Let's get to that when we come back. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice, local news and talk. We'll also get to the story of the one-sided Bud Foster about the city wants to leave RTA. So, Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice. Jethro Tull. Oh, Greg and Kim are dancing right now. Skating away on the thin ice of the new day. Wow. Thank you, Ian. Wake up. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Little Sylvan song by the Heart Girls.
They look like they could be going to or from the Short Rest Tavern.
You are correct. I agree with that. Great cover for that album. I love it. There's this lady named Jess Turner, who she's the Tech Parks PR lady. It's so funny. She just sent a press release talking about how she got a... she's been named the director of communications for the local PRSA public relations, which were sad to say gave that loser Dylan Smith the Man of the Year award or something like that. But she wrote a press release about herself in the third person. Can you put somebody else's name on it at least? Come on, girl. 790-2040 is the phone number. Let's go to trivia winner, barely, Barney Brenner. Barney, good morning,
You're correct about the barely part, but, you know, you're talking about looking for a parallel with these forced vaccinations, and there is a very pertinent one that's been done in multiple countries, and that's forced sterilizations. They have them, they're rampant in China, have been for years. They even did them in the United States back in the 20s and 30s, the 1920s and 30s. And it was done also under the guise of health. You know, there were people with certain genetic conditions that the powers that be said, well, maybe these people shouldn't reproduce. So they, this forced government action on your body, and the current slogan of my body, my choice is nowhere to be seen in either instance.
I knew someone like Barney would know this. I knew it. So, sir, I appreciate it, buddy.
You bet. This is one last thing. Reagan has a good clip that you could probably find on Facebook if the tyrants there haven't yanked it. But he warned back in the 60s that the tyranny into our country would come in the form of the takeover of the healthcare system.
Interesting. All right, we'll look for it and see. Maybe we'll play it on the third hour.
If you can find it, that'd be great. It's just short and very, very good clip.
All right, we're on
it.
Thanks,
Chris.
Thanks, bud.
We'll see ya.
You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. If you want to get in, 790-2040 is the phone number. Let's go real quick to local. So it's really interesting. So we have the faculty union of the U of A. If you remember the faculty union, I just want to give you a little reminder. Remember when all this started in the schools, the whatever school year? Remember they were the ones that were in the on the summer day, they put all the fake coffins. It was a die-in. Remember that one? Because they said all these people were going to die because the U of A was going in person.
For the governor or something, yes.
Well, that didn't happen. And now with a more milder strain of this thing, they wanted to go online. And they can't believe Rockin' Robbins. So this is why Rockin' Robbins went with... So this is the best part about Rockin' Robbins, the million-dollar man. He now knows the gig is up. The Mayo Clinic says that surgical masks and cloth masks are pretty much decently useless. So that's why he went to we're going to put all 45,000 people on N95s. I feel a shortage coming up.
Well, if you notice, the CDC is also taking into account that they can't get KN95s and N95s. N95s, that's ridiculous. And that they're shortage because, I don't know, President Biden and his transportation secretary, you know, have been asleep at the switch and or on long-term leave. And so now the CDC saying, oh, well, maybe we don't need that. You know, it's whatever mask you want to wear.
There are various things. This is from the CDC themselves on the summer of 2020. The physiological burden of prolonged PPP use on healthcare workers. Right. The adverse. This is from Klein Medical Journals. Adverse effect of prolonged mask use during healthcare crisis. Right. You're not supposed to be wearing a N95 that long.
I think you need to quote Albert Einstein again.
This is the madness thing? Oh, duh. Sorry. You know, and the fact, right, so when you, I remember in the old days when you would get a, like an N95 at Home Depot, right, because you were going to wear a, you were going to do something with something that had caustic fumes, right? I'm pretty sure in the old days there was something on there that I remember, like a label that said, you probably shouldn't wear this that long. This is not for 8 hours of caustic stuff. It's, you know, wear it briefly while you're doing your work and then, you know, actually start breathing. You know, I'm actually, we'll get to it. I'm looking through a study right now that has to do with the durations of N95. So the U of A, oh, they wanted remote learning until the 28th. Get the heck out of here. Now, I will tell you that a friend of mine, his kids go to a university in the southwestern United States that shall remain unnamed because I don't want to ruin it for the kids, okay? That the university has signs all over the place. Wear your mask, right? The president of the university does press conferences where he says, wear your mask, we're testing, all of this stuff. 5% of the university is wearing their mask, which are kids probably and teachers. Well, either it's teachers or it's kids that have been scared to death by their parents, or they might have some sort of immunodeficiency, which is possible. Okay. No one else is wearing a mask. Inside, outside, they're just living life. University has 30,000 people. You have never heard of anything that has to do with an outbreak from this university. Nothing. It's a theater. That's where we're at. There's that. I'm at 30,000 kids living in dorms together, eating in unions that are packed, all of that jazz, going to basketball games, movie theaters, all of that. And there's nothing. There's no outbreak. Does a kid get, oh, they also have random testing. Okay. Now, the way the random testing works at this university is you get an email, you're randomly picked, and they say, please come get your random test. 90% of the kids take it and throw it into the trash and never show up. And this university does not go, hey, where are you, bro? So they're talking out of both sides of their mouth, right? So they got to play it for the public and the professors. We're doing this, but in reality, they're not doing it. And I think there's a truckload of universities doing that. I want Rockin' Robins to get, I want to go to the U of A. I just want to walk through buildings without my N95 mask. I want to see what they do to me. I really want to have UAPD throw me off. Love to see you do that. In the midst of 45,000 people running around the U of A, they're going to be checking if I have an N95 mask on. Get a life. It's pathetic. So we come back. Carlos Ruiz is going to be on. Then we're going to talk about the Bud Foster one-sided piece about the RTA. And then I want to get into the Coulter piece about the cover-up on Epstein. Because all of a sudden, now that Ghislaine, whatever her name was, has been convicted, I don't think we have a sentencing yet, you don't hear much about this. All these people that were connected, you know, we heard stuff that the pilot said who was on the log and the plane and all this jazz. And I think Ms. Coulter, who I usually don't quote too much, I mean, she's smart. She's smart lady. but she does a good rundown of this over two columns. So we're going to do a little rundown on that. And then we'll also do Fauci and the CDC and everything they told you about your vaccines since, well, over the last so many years. And you'll see how, I don't want to say they're wrong because, you know, some of you will yell at me. Sorry, the science is evolving. It's evolving that your vaccines aren't really working anymore. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30.